all joy, all love. Those are the things we want, right?
Yeah.
So you have to be here now. And so the women go through all of this, and there are some very emotional moments. I've had friends who've read the book and commented that they were tearing up. And these are people who do not tear up easily. And so I felt those moments too. I even had to shut my office door a few times and take a little cry while I was writing it, because as the women's story came to life within me, I thought, oh my gosh, don't we ache? Don't we women ache for this kind of connection?
Mom.
Yes, what?
Slow down.
Sound familiar?
I get it. Mom life is demanding. There are no off hours, the pay is minimal, and your bosses are relentless. But there is a way that you can start giving back to the most important person in your life, you. As a mom of four, I get what it's like, but I promise you can start to enjoy life more, take time for yourself, and cultivate a sense of inner peace that all your friends will notice. My name is Jessica, and I'm the host of the Mom Slow Down podcast, where we will tackle topics important to us moms, discover the clues to healing and happiness, and take time just for us. Thank you for joining me on this journey to a happier, healthier, more satisfied version of you. Looking for even more joy? Check out my membership site at jessicanicole.love. Indulge in a yoga class, sip on a glass of Cabernet, or challenge your skills in the kitchen. But remember, Mom, slow down.
Hey, we've got a real treat. Is anybody stressed? I'm stressed. I had a stressful day, actually, to be quite honest. Yeah, it's a lot. I think the world is stressed. And I actually, the author here, Amy Morgan, has the antidote to stress. So she calls this a chaos antidote. So I don't know if anybody has chaos in their life, but if you have kids, if you're married, if you have a dog, if you have a job, if you woke up today, you have chaos in your life. That's for sure. Yeah. So what do we do about it?
Well, I developed a little program to help folks with their stress, the antidote to chaos, like you said, which is mindfulness. And that has been what has worked best for me.
Yeah. And mindfulness, I think, is a super hot button word. I'm sure everybody's heard of it. Everybody's got a different definition for mindfulness. Tell me what, in your words, what is the definition of mindfulness?
Sure. Well, I think a lot of folks have different definitions, right? So I don't hold all the truth in this arena. But for me, mindfulness means paying attention to what's going on inside and around me. So inside of those feelings, those thoughts, those emotions that are coming up, could be about the past, could be worrying about the future, but it's not present. You know, it's all these things. But then what's going on around, like, for instance, here's this lovely fire, lovely guest, you know, I'm going to be a guest on the show. It's just
a beautiful night.
Oh, it is. We're so fortunate.
With people. However, I would say most people would be sitting in this situation on their phones, worried about their, you know, deadline tomorrow, worried about the date that didn't call them back, you know, or whatever it will be. And how often do you think we are really, truly present? I mean, not very.
I think it's very, very challenging to do that. I mean, if you go out to a restaurant or a coffee shop or anywhere, you know, a lot of folks are just on their phones, even when they're just in one-on-one situations. And I think the way I describe it is there are a lot of nutrients in a current moment. And when you're not in the present, if you're worrying about the past or planning the future or on your cell phone or other device, you're missing out on those nutrients. And I think over time, we develop deficiencies. And I think that's part of our unhappiness and the chaos that ensues.
Yeah. And not connecting, like truly connecting fully in our relationships, connecting fully in our careers, in our jobs, as parents, with our children. You know, we run around, I think, so often feeling less than and truly unhappy. We're living in the reels in our head and living in the stressful moments and walking around with that I shoulda, coulda, woulda kind of attitude.
Sure.
And we wonder why we're miserable. You know, depression's on the rise. I think the pandemic was really hard because it really isolated a lot of people. Rather than choosing to be isolated and being on your phone, it was truly, you know, isolation within, you know, the confines of your own home or your own space. So I want to talk, here's why we're here tonight. We're going to talk about this incredible book. It's called The Chaos Antidote. I have a link in my stories And it's a fable about mindfulness. So tell me why you titled it The Chaos Antidote, A Fable About Mindfulness.
Well, I felt like in my own life and in the lives of so many women that I had met with, it felt like chaos. That, it, like we've been talking about, the things of the past that would come back to haunt them, or the stresses about the future and the what's next, which have just been compounded by COVID, of course, they created this sense of chaotic internal life. And I wanted to provide some guidance on an antidote, which is kind of an interesting word because I had drafted this before COVID hit. And so it's kind of an interesting word to be using, an antidote, during a time where we're, a lot of us have been physically sick, but there's also an emotional sickness that this addresses. And so, A Fable About Mindfulness, the book is a fictional yet realistic tale about three friends who all have their own big personalities and life dramas. And I wanted to tell a story that showed you how, even when your life is full, even when your life is chaotic, there's a path out. And the best way I felt to help teach folks about mindfulness was through a story. I mean, it's kind of the oldest literary device known to man, right? You have parables, you have fables. And because I feel like when you see something modeled in a fable, it becomes more real. It's kind of like trying on an outfit. You're like, oh yeah, that actually fits. You know, I can see myself in that situation. And honestly, I felt like, as you mentioned at the very beginning, mindfulness is just such a hot word. You know, over the last few years, it's really gained a ton in popularity, but I still feel like there's this sense of, what really is it? Is it sitting on a yoga cushion, or what is it? And so I wanted to take folks through a journey with real women who are not native to the mindfulness path.
Relatable women.
Very relatable.
I think you can relate to qualities within each of the women, for sure, and their stories and what they're experiencing.
You got workaholics, shopaholics, you got, you know,
sickness,
people,
family, you're dealing with, you know,
career,
trauma, yeah,
all kinds of things going on. And so, yeah, I just wanted to tell a story. So honestly, so folks could be kind of a fly on the wall. So if you've been curious about what mindfulness really is, I wanted to be able to let you be a fly on the wall and go through mindfulness training without the awkwardness of the skin tight pants. If you don't want them, you can just see what it's all about. So,
and I love it. And I think there was someone else that mentioned it. Like, you know, I really enjoyed the book because it wasn't pushy. Yeah. You know, and when you're picking up a self-help book or you're going through the journey and you're kind of maybe taking the veil off, it's heavy. And it's really deep, and it can be a lot. And, you know, maybe you can read a few pages and put it down. But what I love so much about your book is that you're able to read it, you know, from page one to the end and really get enjoyment and be able to try on all of these different tools, techniques, tips of mindfulness to live a more mindful life, to try on meditation tools and all of these things and be able to kind of do it in an unassuming way, a way that just felt very comfortable. You can read it at your own pace. You can practice it at your own pace. And I thought that it was a really beautiful way to present really a life skill.
Yeah.
I mean, because mindfulness leads to a happy life, to a fulfilled life. Can you talk about kind of your journey to mindfulness?
Sure.
Where you were pre and post, I guess?
That's a great question. Several years ago, I endured a life-threatening miscarriage. And when you face something that's life-threatening, it gives you pause. You know, it's kind of a forced pause. And you reflect on your life and where you are and maybe where you'd like to be. And that's what I did. I'd realized that I was very unhappy with life, with parts of who I'd become. And I wanted to learn how to be happy again. I wanted to figure out why I was unhappy so then I could fix it, right? And so I buried myself in all those self-help books you're talking about. They are. And I trudged through them like a champion. I really did. I mean, there's just this avalanche of books beside my bed at night. And I took copious notes because I was a woman on a mission for years. And finally, one day I felt like I was a sponge that had been fully soaked, right? And that I felt very very much so like I needed to step back and read all those notes that I had taken. I did that. And when I read the notes from all of my research, all these self-help books, gurus from all corners of the universe, I realized that the problem was, is I was never present. I was never in a moment. Didn't matter if I was...
Where were you? In your head?
I was worried about things in the past.
Yeah.
I was stressing about things I couldn't control in the future, right? I mean, I think that that's where you do.
Can relate to.
Yeah. I was never present. I was always trying to figure out some problem, whether it was real or imagined in my head, right? We can have all these
serious, we have real problems. You know, I stubbed my toe.
Right.
Or I've got to pay this light bill and we have problems that we create.
Exactly. Right. That was kind of my journey, is the realization that I needed to be more present. And so in that realization, mindful practices are really what came to the forefront, that that's what I needed to develop. And so I put all of the information that I had researched together and created a little bit of a plan for myself. And I took the mindfulness-based stress reduction course, a super intense course put together by Jon Kabat-Zinn, and was able to practice a lot of the things that I had read about and continued to learn, and was in a group setting, which was very beneficial. And so I kind of took a spin on that and created a book that would allow folks to have kind of a similar journey. So I'm kind of shortening the learning curve, you know, a few years by, you know, if you read this book, you're kind of shortening the learning curve by being able to ingest the wisdom from around the world and things that I have come up with as a result of my learnings and practices.
What would you say? Because I think so many people are in this situation where, you know, they're stressed, they're unhappy, they feel stuck, especially when you talk about, you know, our midlife cycles, when you really start asking, all right, what is life for? Right? What is this about? Or, you know, you experience some kind of trauma or loss or death or illness. You know, what kind of challenges has mindfulness helped you overcome?
Mindfulness has helped me be able to have fewer anxious thoughts. Or if I have them, if I have those anxious thoughts, I recognize, oh, that's an anxious thought. And don't
and identify it. And then you can let it go.
And then you can let it go. You can let it go.
And taking hold.
Yes. And potentially ruining the rest of your day, your week, your month, whatever it might be. And that's a huge one for me. I think the other thing is, it helped me, and it's kind of akin to what we were talking about, is it's helped me better self-regulate. So instead of really attaching to something and letting it just destroy me, it's allowed me to recognize things in a helpful way. And I have this tool belt around me. I'm not defenseless anymore. I have this tool belt around me that allows me to self-regulate.
Yeah.
And depending on where I am, maybe I'm in the office, maybe I'm at home, maybe I'm on a hike, whatever it might be, I have different tools that I can pull out. And that I feel empowered because of that.
Yes. Versus being helpless.
Exactly.
When I say, you know, so I'm a yoga practitioner and a meditator, and mindfulness is kind of this big umbrella word, you know, where all of these things can kind of fit under. And it's not the antidote to troubles in life, right? You don't get out of this life thing without suffering, without going through trials and tribulations. But in my opinion, it softens the blows.
Yeah.
You know, you're still going to have the waves of stress. You're still going to have highs and lows, sometimes, you know, within the same day. You're just able to manage those waves a little bit more. That you have the tools, you know, that you're not being gripped with anxiety, fear, and trauma and loss, and that you're resonating and holding on to that, maybe something that happened 10 years ago or something that's still not happened, you know, in the future, and that you're able to just kind of ride that wave.
That's a great way to put it.
Yeah, I love it. Well, let's talk about the book.
Sure.
All right, so you have this incredible book, and behind it is a really fun little workbook, which I think is super important because it's a story and you get to learn about it, but the whole point is to be able to take these tools and to put them into practice in your own life. And I think you've done a really nice job with the workbook, and I'll let you kind of explain how that is, but giving you opportunities, again, it's all about trying on these tools, figuring out what works in your life. And so that you can start to cultivate a mindfulness practice that works for you. And everyone's different. You know, everyone has their own life experiences. We all come with our own stories, our own histories, our own traumas, our own successes. And so everyone's a kind of cure to that or path to happiness, fulfillment, joy, gratitude, all those really wonderful, blissful things that we're all here to find and to live in is going to be a little bit different. I love that. So let's, give us a little kind of overview.
As we touched on a little bit earlier, the book follows this small group of women, these three friends, which you get to find out a little bit more about how they're connected and how their pasts have intertwined throughout the course of the book. They each have their own struggles. We've got a single mom who is dealing with a professional crisis. You have Meg, kind of the protagonist, who is a mother who's a distracted writer, constantly doing the cell phone thing. You know, she's got those twinges to check her phone all the time. And then you have Lucia, who's facing a life-threatening health crisis. And they're all kind of banding together and trying to figure out how to resolve the chaos in their lives. And in comes their sage leader, who is Veda. And she's kind of secretly who I want to be when I grow up. She's amazing.
I started giving my daughters Veda.
Oh, that makes me so happy.
It really is so great. And it's funny because I've said in mindfulness, like, you know, if you get down and speak at your child's level and just listen to them, it won't take very long. But I gave my daughter Veda hug, and I think we were hugging for literally like 2.5 minutes. A Veda hug is one that just, you know, you hug and you don't let go until the other person is ready. And if you've ever been the receiver of a Veda hug or a Veda type hug or been the giver, it's really a powerful thing.
Mm.
I mean, I felt my daughter kind of melt in my arm in that moment. I'm like, I'm going to try out this little Veda hug thing.
Oh, I've got goosebumps. Yeah, that's so good.
It was a good, I highly suggest it.
Yeah. So this beautiful soul, Veda, helps lead these women through a very trying time in their lives. And I mean, spoiler alert is that mindfulness doesn't resolve all their problems and make life perfect for them, but it gives them those tools that they can apply and be able to better self-regulate and to be there for themselves as well as each other. I mean, we're better humans. We're better friends or spouses or parents when we're present. That's where the good stuff happens, because I truly believe that all healing happens in the present moment. All joy, all love, those are the things we want, right?
Yeah.
So you have to be here now. And so the women go through all of this, and there are some very emotional moments. I've had friends who've read the book and commented that they were tearing up. And these are people who do not tear up easily. And so I felt those moments too. I even had to shut my office door a few times and take a little cry while I was writing it, because as the women's story came to life within me, I thought, oh my gosh, don't we ache? Don't we women ache for this kind of connection? I mean, it's kind of like a modern day, if you've ever read Anita Diamond's The Red Tent, which is a gorgeous story. If you ever get a chance, you will ache for that kind of community in a way that I think is difficult to have in today's age. But these women have kind of a modern brand of that. And I think it's a beautiful thing. It truly is. So
really special.
Yeah. And so this is kind of a unique, the workbook. I decided to create the workbook because the readers of the story said, Amy, I love that story. And I love how Veda teaches the women, but I want to do it myself.
Yeah. I don't have a Veda.
I don't have a Veda.
What am I supposed to do? I love the book now. Tell me how to fix it.
Can you manifest a Veda?
Yeah.
So what I did was I created this 6-week workbook, which really, it's pretty cool because you get the Veda lessons that she gives to the women in the story, one each week. You get one major lesson, and then you have daily workbook pages. So you get to work through the things that the women in the story do. And so it's a really cool, I think, very unique experience. Yeah, it's very manageable.
You're not like, here's everything.
Nope.
We just give it all at once, which can be super overwhelming. Again, yep. You get to try it on for size.
Day after day.
Work through it. Move on to the next one.
Yeah. And it's, so I don't know if you can see some of it, but maybe I can pop up there and kind of show you. I mean, some of these pages are just, they're really neat as you get to journal. I'll show you even some of the,
I love it. Body awareness.
Yeah.
Even the glowy practice.
Yeah. So I'm going to pop up here and kind of show you a little bit. Do you even have some, we're disconnecting, but I'm going to show you anyway, folks, because we're having a good time. But there's body awareness and there are blessings every day to kind of send you on your merry way. So the glowy method.
Yeah. Well, let's get it. I mean, that's in there.
That is in there. So I love this. And this is a practice that I developed on my own. So an original practice that I included in both the book and the workbook. And it is, GLOWY is an acronym. It's a daily reflection practice. And I do it every day in my morning journal and have for a very long time. It's just that practice that centers me before I head out into my day. I get in touch with myself a little bit. And so here it is. If you want to try it, you can as we go along, but I'm going to explain it to you. So GLOWY is an acronym. So the G in GLOWY, G stands for what you're grateful for. And so these are things that, of course, bring you joy, that bring you life, and they're the blessings that are all around you. The L is for things that you need to lift up. Maybe you need some support. Maybe you need some resources. Maybe you need some sort of wisdom in your life about something.
Good to check in and be like, what is it that I need?
Right.
I mean, how many as women that we're like, we have no idea what our needs are because we are just disconnected and we're taking care of others all the time.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. And so each of these letters are really, really poignant with especially the struggles that women have. The other thing, the O is for observe. And as we spoke about at the beginning, mindfulness is being aware of what's going inside and around you. So you can make observations about maybe things that you're feeling. Actually, I was doing GLOWY on the way here because I might have sped a little bit.
Yeah, I was good.
I might have sped a little bit. It was not my most mindful drive. I was like, I'm going to make it. So long story short is as I was doing it, it kind of helped calm me down. I thought, you know, yes, I'm driving a little bit quickly, but I'm going to be grateful for this moment. I get to talk with a lot of really amazing folks, your tribe. And I'm so grateful for that. And I was lifting all of you up that this would be helpful to you and that this conversation would be really life-giving. As I was observing the O, I was noticing, you know, that I was nervous, a little bit nervous, and at the same time, very excited that I had this opportunity. And I was noticing a lot of beautiful trees as I was coming in here, a lawn that was mowed this way and then that way. It's gorgeous. Oh, man. So I was noticing things, observing my surroundings, even while I might have been breaking the speed limit just a little bit. just a little bit. Don't tell the homeowners association. but then the W, I'm sure you've heard a lot about intention setting. So the W stands for a wholesome intention. So this includes, I define it, and you may define it differently, but I define wholesome intention as how you plan to be or to show up. So
as your best self.
As your best self.
You may not always get there. No. Nope. What's your intention?
What's your intention? So there are days where I say, you know what? It is my wholesome intention to be fully present during my team meeting. That's my intention for today. I want to show up and be present. You can have several wholesome intentions throughout your day, but that's just one example. And the last one's one of my favorites. It's kind of a little proverbial kiss to send you on your way. So the Y stands for you are. So you are your own personal self. So it's a positive statement toward yourself. You get a little self-love going on there. So you get to say, Amy, you are a mindful creator. And that kind of, you can give yourself a little hug. I like to do that at the end. You know, some of us don't get hugs on a given day. And so just give yourself a little hug and head off into your way, knowing that you've affirmed yourself a little bit of who you are.
Sir, I love all of these practices. Talk us through as this creator, you know, when I think as someone, you know, we can lift you up and say, okay, I'm going to aspire to be Amy Morgan and see the things that she's gone through and overcome and offering these practices. What is your mindfulness? What is your daily practice? Because I think a lot of people, I know this with yoga, is like, I don't have time.
Sure.
You know, I think that's probably the biggest pushback I'll get, you know, whether it's self-care or practicing meditation or mindfulness, to walk us through what that looks like.
Sure. It's not rocket science. It's really a very basic practice. And as you mentioned earlier, it can really look very different for anybody else or for anyone else. And I hope that through the workbook, and some trainings that I will be offering soon, you'd be able to find out what works best for you. So this isn't a one size fits all. This is just me, yeah, Amy Morgan, what I do. So what I find that works best for me is I like to start my day and I review my schedule. That's just kind of my first thing. Just get a sense for what my day holds. It feeds into everything else, but I get a sense for what my day holds, some of my appointments, some of my to-do lists that have already been set essentially at the beginning of the week. Usually Monday morning, I set out the marching orders for the week. So I give it a little look, accept it, and then I like to move into a journaling practice. And I don't know if you've ever read Julia Cameron's The Artist's Way. If you haven't, it is divinely inspired. I love that book. But she recommends that, and some of her practices have influenced my practice. And this is one of them. So I try to spend time every day writing at least 2 to 3 pages. And I just let myself free write. And I find out a lot of interesting things about myself that way. Sometimes I find it's kind of meditating on page. So you get a little bit of a record of what's going on with you. You know, maybe I might be upset about a conversation I had the day before. Maybe I'm stressing about a meeting I have later in the day, difficult conversation that might need to be had, or I can't quit thinking about what meal I'm going to plan for guests or whatever it might be. I get in touch with all of it and I let myself think through it. Maybe it's like, I'm worried about this, you know, this dinner that we're going to have and I don't know what to make. Let me just let myself go with it. Where's it go? I'd be like, okay, girl. We've got gluten intolerance with the friends. We've got, so like, what's left? I just might do that. So I let myself go because usually I figure out my problems very calmly on the page and it's lovely. And then at the end, every single time, I always conclude with the glowy practice. So I give myself the time to write it out. Some people may just want to say it out loud. I love to write it because I think it's really powerful. I'm a writer, right? And that's why this practice fits me, because I love to write. Always have since I was a little girl. And one of the best things that I love about it are probably the lift up and the you are. And one of them I'm good at and the other one I'm not. So, okay, I'm not good at the you are. I've been trying that on so hard, but it's part of a practice of really that self-love.
And really like feeling it. Like
feeling it, not just saying it.
You are amazing-ish, you know, you gotta really like believe it. And it's hard, even little kids. I found my daughter, I asked them in the car, tell me, you know, one good thing about yourself. Even at 8 and 12, they have a hard time doing that. And here we are at not 8 and 12. And still are struggling. You know, it starts and we carry that forward, that, you know, saying a positive thing about ourselves tends to be so difficult.
I don't know if it's a societal thing. I kind of feel like maybe it is. I don't know if women in particular, but just...
Well, you know, we were taught, too, that the ego is bad.
Right.
Right? So the ego is a part of us in yoga. It is a part of you. It is something outside the self. It's a part of you, and it's not good or bad.
But right.
We were taught that ego is a negative thing. And so, you know, we were kind of broken down, and saying something positive, you are beautiful, or I am special, I am worthy, I am beautiful, yes, I am incredible, I am talented. It's like, oh no, that little devil on your shoulder speaks up really loudly.
She does. She really does. But I find that with more practice, I can see it more. And there are even things that you might even practice saying it in front of a mirror. I think that that's a really beautiful practice. You know, under certain situations, you know, you may even get into expressing love for yourself, not just in words, but just even looking in the mirror, it can be a really powerful thing. And it's hard to accept sometimes. We withhold a lot from ourselves, Jessica. I think we really do. And so that's difficult for me. So I'll be honest about it. It still is difficult because I worry about all these, you know, how I've been programmed. But it's a beautiful practice for me. But what I love about the lift up, is that's my opportunity to say where I might need resources, where my friends might be struggling. Maybe somebody has a medical procedure that day that I'm worried about. And I knew that I was worried about it because it was in my calendar and it was definitely in my pages as I was journaling. And so I just get it kind of a releasing. Like, I acknowledge that this stressful thing is happening for my loved one, but I'm lifting it up and I just have to just trust that it's going to be okay. You have to let it go.
Yeah, you've got to let it go.
Because there's no sense getting an ulcer over that.
Right.
You have to acknowledge it. And I think there's a lot of power in the intention of holding up someone when they're struggling as well. I think there's a lot of beautiful energy around that. So, yeah.
And I love, you know, and for me, I'm a movement girl. And so the practice of yoga really called for me, and the way that, you know, I will practice mindfulness is, you know, simple movements, simple stretches, pose, breath work is really good for me of just taking a pause, you know, and that's what I love about these practices, the things that you offer, the body scans, is that it allows everyone, no matter, like, I'm not a writer. I wasn't so gifted, you know, but I do love to move, and that feels really good. You know, maybe I was a dancer in a former life. I don't know.
Hey.
You know, but it's a beautiful way that I think everyone can express themselves and get there. I think our goal is to get there, and our paths are going to be different. But getting there is loving ourselves, loving others, you know, being grateful, experiencing true joy, which I think is so powerful. And so many of us are struggling very deeply, and I feel lost.
Absolutely.
And there is a better way.
Absolutely. There is a better way. The other part, just before I forget it, after I spend maybe 15 minutes in my writing, I do like to do my morning sit, and I go old school people. Okay. All devices stay outside, save for an old school CD player. And I mean, I pull out my meditation CD, which is just, you know, instrumental. And I have my favorite one. And it's about 15, 20 minutes. And I sit there, and I know at certain points, you know, that it's getting ready to finish, and then I need to think about my breath even more. There are little cues in there, right? That gives me an opportunity to just sit, and all those scenes that I've written about and have lifted up in glowy have recognized, they're there again, and I get to just watch them float by. You know, I imagine when I sit, because a lot of folks will say I don't have time, and I get that. I have a couple kids. I completely relate with that, and a business, all kinds of things. But I just try to focus, even if it's just for 15 minutes, it can't even be for 1 or 2 or 5 minutes. It doesn't have to be anything huge, but I just imagine my mind as a clear sky. That's my practice. And what I do is I just let all my thoughts come across one at a time. And when they start to flow, because sometimes there's a traffic jam, at, you know, all these thoughts want to come at once, I just try to slow them down and let each one have its moment, you know, gets to have its moment on stage, and then it gets to go. And that's the simple practice. It's the writing with glowy, and it's a short time of sitting quietly, which is hard for me. I mean, I'm a busybody. I'm a type A, firstborn. Yeah. She's like, whoa.
I knew you were spinning over there. But ultimately, it is that stillness. I mean, I think, you know, mindfulness can be this very big umbrella word that we can practice doing anything.
Yeah.
We can be mindful riding the bus or the train. We can be mindful cooking dinner. We can be mindful in our relationships. And then the meditation, the seat, the stillness. You know, which tends to be the hardest part. It's like the Shavasana at the end of a yoga practice, you know, that sweet, sweet, sweet kind of ending that tends to be the most difficult. We like to busy ourselves so much so that we don't have to address what's really going on. And sitting down can be scary. Oh, that may not be, if you go to start a meditation practice and you've never done it before, sitting down for a minute, 2 minutes would feel like a lifetime.
It feels like, I think it's an acceptance that the world can go on without you, and you can let everything go for a little bit.
Yeah.
It's kind of a little miniature vacation. And
it
would say,
not feel like one for me.
No, I get that.
I thought it was some kind of Chinese culture. I think my legs were falling asleep. I was miserable. Like, who would ever want to do this?
I know. If you're worried, I would give this one piece of advice, because this really worked for me, is if you're worried about a lot of very strong emotions coming up, or if they in fact do, which they do, I find that it helps me feel a lot safer in those moments to check in with my body. So I might notice if I felt really disempowered in a situation and those emotions are coming to me, I might notice when I'm experiencing it again. So putting it back up on the screen of my mind, my throat is tight. And so I can get curious about that. Maybe even put some breath into that area, attend to it. Pain and difficult emotions, they demand to be felt. They will be felt.
Yeah. One way or another.
nope. And you're going to keep, you know, spewing it out on other people typically, I think is the case, or you can attend to it. And so I get really curious about my physical body. I think that that's a good way to go about it.
For sure. And I love that you say giving breath to those, you know, just taking that moment. And breath, just the act of putting the focus and awareness and attention onto breath can be so powerful. So powerful. I've really just that tool. I simply use a 2-to-1 breath technique, you know, whatever the inhale, 2-3 counts, you're doubling the exhale. And that act of elongating the exhale, that act of really kind of working on our fight and flight response, working on our vagus nerve, stimulating our rest and digest, helps to calm the body. So if those big emotions come up, if those chest tightness, you know, you start to feel the stress, you feel the shoulders rise up to the ears or the throat closing off. It's usually you're not speaking your truth. You know, you're someone's closing off your voice. That breath technique can be really, really powerful. I'm just giving you in a moment.
Absolutely.
So let's talk about, you have something incredible coming up called the Mindfulness Academy.
Yes.
Which I love that. Let's talk about that.
Sure.
How people can get involved.
Sure. I have developed the Mindfulness Academy. It's a program that will help you understand the basics of mindfulness. This would be in a weekly digest for weekly videos live with me. And I will lead you through the basics, really a lot of things that are from the book, but in a short format, and you'll be able to ask questions and have some homework assignments to develop it over the course of 6 or 7 weeks, depending on how long we need to go there towards the end. We're going to keep a little flexible at the end, but I find it will be a way to create community around it, a little bit of accountability and learning from each other. So that environment to help overcome some of those barriers to developing one's own practice. I recently found out about myself that I really thrive on accountability. I love when someone else cares about what I care about and we're both working towards something together. That's what works best for me. And so I want to create an environment where other folks get to have that sort of environment, that kind of accountability, if you will.
Which is so important. When I started, I had a meditation teacher. So I knew every week he was going to come ask
exactly
how my practice was going. And I didn't want to let him down. I wasn't going to do it for myself, right? But I wasn't going to let him down. And I think that's so important and interesting, like whether you're starting a fitness program, you know, or you're starting a yoga practice, or you're starting a dance class, you know, having an accountability practice, in this case, a mindfulness practice or meditation practice, is so powerful to A, yet know, as a reminder, you're not alone.
Yep.
You know, you're not alone in your suffering, and you're not alone on this journey, and you're really not alone in that sense of community that you have someone to bounce ideas off of. And things come up, I think, that are important to talk about.
Okay.
As you start to explore, you know, your own emotions, your own physical sensations, your thoughts, you know, things are going to come up. And to be able to have someone as astute and knowledgeable as you to create a community for people to bounce those ideas and those, you know, questions, concerns come up is invaluable.
I think it's going to be very exciting. Yeah. I'm very excited about doing it. And so yeah, if you feel like, you know, life is chaotic for you, you're having those anxious thoughts, or you feel caught in the future, you know, future tripping, if you will, and you're curious how mindfulness might be able to help you, that's what the Mindfulness Academy is about. You get the bare bones lessons.
Yeah.
And get to ask questions and have that accountability along the way. And so if you would like to be notified when the open enrollment begins, you just go to my website, amiemorgan.com. That's A-I-M-E-E, morgan.com. And then / Mindfulness Academy. And I'm sure Jessica will share the link with you. Yeah, so it's nice and easy to click on that. But just, yeah, give me your information and we'll let you know when the open enrollment starts.
I think that's—
Yeah.
And then where else can they get this book? It's on, I know it's number one Amazon new release. I love it. I love it right there. So
yep,
you can find it on Amazon.
Yes.
Just under the Chaos Antidote.
That is true.
Right.
That is great. And also Barnes & Noble, Walmart, other online, major online retailers.
I know.
Amazon just delivers things so quickly.
It's hard to. I grew up with—
I mean,
like,
shocker.
What?
I know.
It wasn't even the
Neanderthal. Yes.
Well, I thank you so much. And thank you for sharing really the book, The Chaos Antidote, and all of your wonderful knowledge and insight. And really excited for the Mindfulness Academy. Guys, check out The Chaos Antidote. I will put this video online and we'll get something up.
Thank you so much,
Thank
Jessica.
You. Thanks, Instagram. Thanks, self-love. Thank you. Have a great night, you guys.